is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Hurricane force winds are still fueling catastrophic wildfires in Hawaii, where at least 36 people have died. Reporter Billy V has the latest from Honolulu.
The fire that roared through Maui's historic Lahaina town like a blowtorch has left devastation everywhere.
What we saw looked like an area that had been bombed and burned by in a war zone.
Helicopter tour operator Richie Olston flew over the smoldering town.
There's hundreds of homes leveled down to the ground. The historic section of the town is destroyed. Even the boats in the harbor were burned down to the water. They're gone.
They're the deadliest fires to ever hit Hawaii. President Biden says federal resources are headed to the state to help them recover from those fires. But he's also asked Congress for $13 billion in emergency aid for Ukraine and another $12 billion to replace disaster relief funds. It's the biggest request from the White House since November. Iran has released five Americans on house arrest. We get more from CBS's Christopher Cruz.
The prisoners will be allowed to leave the Islamic Republic after $6 billion of Iranian funds in South Korea are unfrozen. Russell Lucas is a professor of international relations at Michigan State University.
Since the Biden administration came in, it has been working to kind of lower the temperature of potential for conflict with Iran.
Lucas says it may be a few weeks before the prisoners are freed.
The FDA is reviewing a new COVID vaccine as a new dominant strain called EG5 makes its way around the country. Dr. William Schaffner is an infectious disease expert at Vanderbilt.
Although it's highly contagious, it's not more severe.
The CDC says it makes up about 17 cases right now in the U.S. and rising. Nick Kyrgios is skipping the U.S. Open later this month in New York. He dropped out of Wimbledon in June over a wrist injury, but missing this month's Open means that he'll have missed all four Grand Slam tournaments a year after reaching his first major final. The Writers Guild heads back to the bargaining table tomorrow in Hollywood. KNX radio reporter Craig Figner's on the picket lines.
It doesn't mean the strike's ending, but at least we know now negotiations between the Hollywood producers and the Writers Guild, they resume tomorrow.
KNX just announced it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes, I heard it as well.
We just got the news. Yeah, the WGA is going to talk to the producers.
Let's piggyback. Let's all go in. Let's get this industry back.
The strike's been going on for 101 days now, but actors tell him they're optimistic. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Finding great candidates.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Hearings this week are over in the Lily Peters homicide case in Chippewa County, and now a judge will decide next year whether the lone suspect, a 15-year-old boy, will be tried as an adult or if the case will go to juvenile court. The teenager is charged with murdering 10-year-old Lily Peters last year and leaving her body in the woods near her Chippewa Falls home. Testimony in reverse waiver hearings this week focused on the boy's mental health and treatment options available in state prison. If the boy is convicted of homicide as an adult, he would serve a mandatory life sentence in prison. If the case moves to juvenile court, he would be under supervision for the next 10 years. Judge Stephen Gibbs will decide in January where the case will go. Two homicide suspects in Eau Claire County are being tried separately. Brandon Gaston and Tracy Clark are both accused of killing an Altoona man and hiding his corpse. The body of 79-year-old Dennis Shoddy was found decapitated in the Rock River in Rockford, Illinois last April. Gaston will appear in court later this month. Clark's next court appearance is in October. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to Hot Gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
This is a great song. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman. I would say Joel Clayfish is here, our wonderful host, but he is missing. He is MIA. Not necessarily MIA, but he is doing something extravagant. I don't really know what he's doing. He's Joel Clayfish. He does everything all the time. Ugh, so jealous. Maybe he's at the state fair.
That could be.
It could be. That wonderful voice you hear, the hello, that is Mike Kretschmer.
Yep.
Did I say it correctly this time? Kretschmer.
Yeah.
It's one of those really long names. Yep. I'm like, I feel like I'm missing a vowel. Can I buy a vowel? I don't really know. Speaking of the state fair, that is going on now, and I finally get to attend tomorrow. And you know what I'm really looking forward to, which every Wisconsinite says?
What?
Cream puffs.
Cream puffs.
Cream puffs.
Cream puffs are good.
I feel like I'm going to gain 20 pounds just eating a cream puff, though.
Yeah. And the corn, too.
I always get that.
I think it's the Lions Club does the corn there.
Oh, I don't know, but they do a fantastic job, don't they?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun walking around, seeing the animals, eating a lot of food, drinking a couple beers.
Yep, absolutely. you're listening to Raised in Wisco. It is Thursday. That means we are at 217 Wisconsin Avenue. Come down and say hello. Of course, we have Bandit and our Anastasia's back.
I'm back. Hello.
Yay, hello. Give us a call at 844-967-2789. And here we go. Are you ready, Mike?
Sure.
I feel like we have, this is how it always begins. I have 50 things to talk about. You know how many we cover?
Three, four.
Maybe three. I don't know where my mind goes, but it's just like, you just talk about whatever, right?
Whatever.
And if you're watching, I may have got it. If you're watching us on Facebook, I don't have it. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, my camera is doing something weird and does not want to focus on my face. I feel very offended by that.
I don't love that. Sorry.
Hello. Hello. So if you see, you can see my shoulders. I guess I have very nice shoulders. Wearing a tank top because it's beautiful outside.
It is gorgeous.
But we have Mike and Anastasia, so that's all that really matters, I guess. All right.
What do you want to start with?
I want to start with the state fair. That's okay. I'm ready for the state fair. I'm ready for the cream puffs. I'm ready for the corn. My favorite place to go is the Knuckleheads. I don't know. Do you call them booths?
Yeah.
Bar area. Yeah. I don't know if you call them a booth, but Knuckleheads expanded.
Oh, really?
They did, and it looks from Facebook. I have noticed it looks absolutely fantastic, and I've only heard good things about it.
Yeah, that got him going down there. Like he's known for that, and people are like all year going out to Eagle, right?
Eagle. He has. They have Knuckleheads and Rustics.
Yeah, I was in there not too long ago.
Were you
talking to him a little bit? I'm in the meat business, so.
Yeah, because that obviously put two and two together. Right. I'm in the meat business. Let me go talk to you.
So yeah, but he's telling me all about the state fair, and he does really well down there.
That's good.
I'm pretty busy this weekend, but I might try to sneak down there for a little bit.
I feel ashamed. I should know this. Anastasia? Do you know when the state fair ends? Or
I believe it ends on the 13th of this year.
Oh, look at that. Online it says the 3rd to the 13th. Oh, sweet. So I'm going just in time.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I'm not a Summerfest person. I am a state fair person.
I would agree with that 100%.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Well.
Because all the immature drunks that just
Granted, this is a crowded area, but still State Fair is like a different kind of crowded. It's like a farmer's crowded instead of like a drunk crowded.
Correct.
I don't know. I don't know if that makes
the
any
younger
sense.
Vibe. I mean, at Summerfest, I have not been down to Summerfest since they kind of did that new, you know, 3-4 day ordeal on the weekends versus the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
My summers are so busy. That's a back burner for me.
It is, isn't it? I did go to Summerfest. Do you want to know when? When I was working it, when Summerfest was not even going on.
Oh, really?
The company I worked for, Rams, we did like the whole playground. We did the demolition for like a gazebo thing. We put up, or we didn't put it up, but we do dirt work. So we took out everything and helped build the new retaining walls and all this kind of stuff. So I was there, but for the good part, because I was getting paid to be there.
Yeah. I almost went 2 weekends ago for, obviously with the last name of Kretschmer, for German Fest. My mom and dad went down to my sister and they ate a bunch of food, but I was actually camping. So I do a lot of camping with the family
when
I'm not hunting, fishing.
Is your family into hunting and fishing?
Actually, my daughter just turned 8. She shot a turkey this spring. So at 7
Did
years
she?
Old, yep. About 22, 23 yards with a crossbow.
With a crossbow?
Yep.
Look at her go. Very proud of her.
Yeah, she, I thought she'd be backing out, but she let her hammer.
Yeah. So what was the whole setup like? First, main important question. Did you bring it up or did she bring it up? Because I don't have kids. So I don't really know this situation part of it. So, you know, your look about it.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm a pusher. So my older son, who's 15, Brady, he shot one at 9. Actually, it is on my online. Little background.
Yeah.
I grew up hunting, fishing since I've been a kid. And I pretty much worked in the outdoor industry at Cabela's for like 15 years. I've known Joel for a very long time. And when...
So that's why he's not here.
Yeah. Pushing me to come on and then he doesn't show up. No, I'm sure he's busy.
He's like, I've seen this person. I see Mike all the time.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I've known him for a long time. And I did a lot of waterfowl, a lot of musky fishing. I did a little bit of guiding. And I had kids. And then, you know, married and kids, that puts a back burner to all that. So now I'm getting into it again because now my children are actually showing interest in it.
Ooh.
And Brady shot a turkey at 9 years old. We filmed it on, I was probably crying more than he was from the shot.
Oh,
I was super emotional.
Aww.
My cameraman at the time was like.
Men get emotional? That's a thing?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
Weird.
Some do.
Weird. I didn't think that was actually possible.
Yeah. So, Ryan.
Sorry, that was a dig for the men. I know. Sorry.
Ryan put the camera down and he goes, I don't think I've ever had such a raw coverage or recording of somebody being that excited. And I was like, I was really into it. And then. It kind of turned him off because I let him shoot a 12-gauge at 9 years old.
He
smoked the turkey, but after that, he kind of backed off a little bit. But he's been into it now. We actually do a youth hunt for waterfowl in the Horicon Marsh that I'm a part of. I help that. That is run through the state. So this first year, he's gone twice now. And this year, he finally shot a duck. He ended up shooting 2 or 3. And when he shot that duck, his eyes lit up.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, so I've done pretty much everything. I ran a camp in Canada, so I have a fishing background, bear hunting background.
Oh, wow.
If any of you guys see Joel, ask him about a bear hunting story down the road up in Canada.
I want to ask.
Yeah, you can ask.
He told me this story beforehand, and I really want to ask.
No, I'll let Joel explain it.
Joel can explain it to us.
That's a good one. You live and you learn, put it that way.
Don't we all, though?
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
All a learning experience.
It
all is a learning experience.
I'm just about, I am 40, not just about 40. I just turned 40. I've been doing it for well over 25 years. I'm still learning every day. And it's not about me anymore.
That's good.
Like, now I love to kill big animals, but I'd rather take somebody new. I'd rather take my kids. You know, and it's stuff like that. So, like, I'm still evolving as a human being and getting older as far as the outdoor world.
Mm-hmm.
And
the world is ever revolving too. Yeah. Like, there's going to be something new. Like, to me, when the Tacticam, I don't know when the Tacticam came out, but in my world, when it came out, I was just astonished, like, how bad of a shot I was until I hooked that up on my barrel and saw that I'm shooting way behind. Like, I'm aiming at the duck instead of in front of the duck.
Yeah.
Like, it's a blessing in disguise, but it's always going to change. There's going to be something new and amazing in about, 2 weeks, 3 weeks probably?
We're not
3 weeks.
Far off,
22 days.
September 1st.
Okay, but get back to your daughter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Turkey. Yeah. I'm always all over the board. I'm excited to tell stories. And So we shot that turkey this spring with the crossbow. We were in a ground blind, which if you are out there and you want to get into spring turkey hunting, there's some people that shun on the whole ground blind deal and you're not sitting on the ground.
Really?
Yeah. It's
I haven't experienced
it. So there's a big there's a big difference in running and gunning and sitting in a ground blind. But there's also, when you're in a ground blind, you get to sit next to somebody, two people, sometimes three. I have my blind's big enough I can have three people. Oh, yeah, right over there.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We're drinking adult beverages. I got this beer because there's a dog's face on it.
It's actually really good.
And I just I don't know that I just tickled.
So okay, I had these turkeys coming in, and they actually were about 20 yards, but off to our right. And I couldn't set up on them. There's trees in the ways. They went all the way around us. They came in. I thought they were. It was an evening hunt, so which people that, you know, in the outdoor world and turkey world, they're like, it's all about the morning. You can kill plenty of turkeys in the afternoon and evening.
Most definitely.
Yeah. And they actually came back, but not quite in range. And I had her set up for like 15 yards. She's shooting the crossbow. Was very scared at first because, you know, at 7 years old, you don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
She started shooting it, and she never wanted to quit. And I'm like trying to crank this thing all the time. I'm like, okay.
Oh, I'm so next proud year, of her. I don't know her, and I'm so proud of her.
She was shooting the, you know, into the target, and I had it at 10, 12 yards. So this was a poke for her, and I was a little concerned. But she, they came. We had a group of trees in front of us, but there was a little opening, and I'm like, he's standing right there. I'm like,
of course.
So I'm filming the whole thing with my phone. Phones are almost as good, if not better, than regular cameras nowadays.
I have a whole story for that one too.
So I have them coming down strutting. They got hung up. They go around us. They're out front. I'm like throwing the phone down. Now my heart's racing like out of my chest because I'm probably more excited. She's cool as a cucumber, and I'm like, "You ready? You want to do this? You want to try this?" She's like, "Yeah." So now I'm holding the base, trying to hold her steady, making sure I'm like, aim a little higher because it's farther. Thump, this turkey she smokes it and standing there. And I'm like, I don't know if she hit it great, good. Because it's probably 25 yards. And I realized to myself, I'm like, I got to go chase this thing. Like, I'm on a small piece of property where it's going to go, and I want to chase it down. I fly the blind open. I run out there. Well, there's three toms together. Well, the other two don't leave because he's still standing there.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, I get up to him, and they take off running. So I'm running through the woods chasing this thing. It's
an arrow sticking out of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I know a story of somebody that I know that actually got injured by an arrow. So that was kind of playing in the back of my mind trying to tackle a turkey. The thing, she kind of hit him low and then up through the breastbone, and it was not a great shot. But I ended up running this thing down, and it was so she's a type 1 diabetic. So now she's like 60 yards from me, and I'm like yelling to her to like bring the crossbow. And I don't even know if she's 55 pounds. She's carrying this big crossbow, runs it over. We don't have the crank. Now she's running back to get the crank. She runs it back, and then she ran it back to me, and we ended up, I had her shoot it again, and we're done. So she was so excited. But yeah, so I was real excited with that turkey hunting. And
I mean, that's the part I like. Either for one, bringing somebody new out there, especially your daughter, and two, with the show, when we get to start talking about hunting right away, it makes me so happy.
Yeah, yeah.
You're listening to Raise in Wisco on 540 AM, WAUK, the Shaw 101 FM. Give us a call, 844-967-2789.
Attention taxpayers, ready for some bad news? With $80 billion in new funding from Congress, the IRS has launched their most aggressive hiring campaign ever to ramp up enforcement. If you're ignoring your taxes, don't delay another minute because your paycheck, your bank account, even your home or business could already be at risk. Now, here's the good news. Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm, can get to work immediately, helping to protect you from the IRS. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, their tax attorneys and licensed professionals are experts at resolving tax problems. Let them help determine if you qualify for the Fresh Start Initiative or other powerful IRS tax assistance programs. Take control. Call Optima Tax Relief now for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting FeedingAmerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight, especially overnight. Some could be strong with a low in the mid-60s. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow. Again, a few storms popping up. Highs into the mid-80s. Sunshine for Saturday. A high in the low 80s. Another chance of storms on Sunday. Cooler high, mid-70s. Currently at 75 degrees.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
I'll tell you again, I'm living proof. Step outside the box, defy everybody, and chase your dreams. This is for everybody who says no.
Oh, I love that intro. I feel like that intro needs to be our intro for the show. Because everybody is chasing the dreams. That's what everybody wants to do. Everybody wants to get out there and hunt for a living. Take videos for it. Like, hunting videos for a living. Just do it. Be out there and get paid.
Right.
Like, granted, some people get paid, like, social media, but it's only, like, $2 an hour for 5 hours. So it's pretty much nothing at all.
Very, very minuscule amount of people make a really good go at making money in the outdoor industry in general.
It takes so much work. I know we talked about it last week, but yeah, you work your 9 to 5. I'm doing quotes, 9 to 5, whatever you want to do. For me, it's 6 to 5, maybe 6 to whatever. But if I'm going to leave this cushiony job, 50, 60 hours a week, to work 24/7. Yes, you can get out there and do what you want to do for a living, but that's all you're going to do forever. Mm-hmm. Which, yes, don't get me wrong, it would be wonderful, but you're always on the clock.
Right.
And I need to, like, step away. I need to be able to go in the woods by myself. I need to be able to go in the blinds by myself. I need to do everything by myself. I mean, with Bandit, of course. Yeah. And just get away.
He's a good dog.
Isn't he, though?
He's so soft.
He is here every single day. Every single day. Every single Thursday.
Yeah.
My favorite. He's our main listener. He is our star.
He listens.
And he's I love what you said. He's so soft because I am one of those people that rarely feeds them human food. Okay. And I feel like that has a huge factor to the coat and everything.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to give him steaks and burgers and fries all the time, like, that stuff makes me feel gross. Of course it's going to make him feel gross.
You know what's funny?
What?
I have a customer come into my meat shop.
Yeah.
Almost every other week, buys 60 to 80 New York strips for his dogs.
What?
Because I don't like my kids. I love my dogs. Yeah. I was like, dang.
I feel like that's how it would be too.
Dropping
if I had
like
kids.
Anywhere from $11 to $16 a pound on steaks for your dog.
Well, okay. The raw food diet for dogs, I don't do it because I'm not that rich yet.
Yeah, right.
But I hear great things about it.
Yeah.
Like, it could be a thing.
I mean, he says his dogs are healthy as an ox.
I believe it.
Yeah, when you're dropping $300 a week on dog food.
Heck yeah. Oh, yeah. We have Victor, and it's a 40-pound bag, $60, $70.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I could spend more money, but that's still pretty good. And look at his coat. Like, he is a very attentive dog. He's chill. He's 4 years old. He is a fantastic. I don't know. We're not supposed to spend this whole segment about my dog.
Okay.
Which I'm not angry about.
Yeah.
Anastasia, she does not allow me in the studio unless
I love
Bandit.
Him. Sometimes I open the door and Bandit's not with her and I say, forget it.
Yeah,
go home.
She closes
There's
the
no
door.
Point. Why are you here? Where is he?
That's funny.
And he's just snoring over here.
Yeah. I mean, he's very chill.
Thank you. Very proud of him.
I'm sure he's dreaming about retrieving ducks and some honkers here pretty quick.
22 days, man. 22 days. But right. I want to get back to the state fair real quick because Anastasia pulled up the Sporkies in Drinkies. So I just learned about this. So if everyone else is learning about this, the Sporkies in Drinkies is a competition for food and beverages. Do you know about this?
Yeah, I mean, we've dabbled a little bit in the past when I've done the fair. It's just pretty much the restaurants come up with some new creative item for the fair.
Oh.
I think there's a beer cheese filled pretzel or
How
something crazy.
How did you know what I was looking at? Are you looking?
No.
You see it over
no.
there?
No. Oh. I just know my food.
So first place Sporkies is the Beer Cheese Wisconsin Lava Cake from
Wurst Bar.
Thank you.
Down on Brady Street. They have phenomenal German food.
Do they? This is right up your alley.
Yeah, they're Kretschmer. They're a big, they do a lot of brats at the Wurst Bar, obviously.
Oh my goodness. I'm speechless right now.
Yes, I didn't know so much. I do not know so much about the Drinkies, but the Sporkies have been around for a while, and like that's where they get the candied bacon, like some
bomb.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna do the first. I'm gonna go through these real quick because I'm very excited about this. Even though this is a hunting and fishing show, but this is a Wisconsin. We're raised in Wisco. This is a Wisconsin show. So Sporkies and Drinkies. So the first place Sporkies is Beer Cheese Wisconsin Lava Cake from Wurst Bar,
yeah.
second place is the Porky from Camp Bar. This looks like a fancy sundae with, I don't know, graham crackers or whatever it is. It's a sundae, and I'm an ice cream fiend. Right. Like, I have a stomach, then I have an ice cream stomach. Like,
well, now, hold on.
Holding.
That's called the Porky. Are we sure that that's ice cream in there?
But there's cherries and sprinkles.
I got to do some research.
All right, do your research, girl. I believe in you. You can do
this. Danielle, when you go, you just got to go get it.
Yeah. I feel like this is all I'm going to... Oh, Lordy. A deep fried apple pie from Saz's Barbecue. Deep fried apple pie.
I mean, anything deep fried's good.
Deep fried apple pie.
Yeah.
Do I need to say more deep fried? Oh, my palms are sweating. I'm so hungry. And the first place Drinkies belongs to the Ferris Mule from the Old Fashioned Sipper Club.
Interesting.
I think that's rosemary and blackberries and lime. I don't know what this is, but
what people think of them. All the different Sporkies, if people have been to the fair and tried them yet.
Oh, Anastasia, I found it.
Excellent.
The Porky. This Sunday is just a treat for you to enjoy while the pig races. Featuring vanilla custard layer and cheesecake bites and hot fudge. This Porky is topped with graham cracker crust, bacon bits, and more hot fudge, warm caramel, graham cracker cookie, and a cherry.
Dang.
But it wouldn't be complete without a piece of candied bacon dipped in chocolate sprinkles.
There's your bacon.
There it was.
Gosh,
I love the state fair.
Yeah,
I love Wisconsin so much. This is so exciting. This is very exciting. All right, let's get... Okay.
Yeah.
We need... What? I feel like you're lying to me, Anastasia. Oh, my Lanta.
We're having
okay.
fun.
That was all state fair. I apologize, kind of, sort of, but get out there to state fair. Yep. This is going to be an exciting time. I'll be there tomorrow. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman, alongside Mike Kretschmer.
Shoulder, keep feeding that monkey on my back. I can feel your hot air blowing in colder, stoking this fire up under my ass. Got me.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Communities destroyed. At least 36 people have died and wildfires still rage in Maui. Dustin Kaleopu and his grandfather made a harrowing escape from Lahaina as the flames quickly engulfed the city.
There was no time for anyone to be coming through the streets on the megaphone telling us to evacuate. It was word of mouth. We had to figure it out for ourselves.
Iran has transferred 5 Iranian Americans from prison to house arrest. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
This is just the beginning of a process that I hope and expect will lead to their return home to the United States.
The secretary says sanctions against Iran will continue to be enforced. The latest inflation data shows that overall consumer prices rose 3.2% from a year earlier. More from CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Food prices up 4.9% from a year ago and heavily weighted towards food away from home. Used car prices down by 5.6%.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Hearings this week are over in the Lily Peters homicide case in Chippewa County, and now a judge will decide next year whether the lone suspect, a 15-year-old boy, will be tried as an adult or if the case will go to juvenile court. The teenager is charged with murdering 10-year-old Lily Peters last year and leaving her body in the woods near her Chippewa Falls home. Testimony in reverse waiver hearings this week focused on the boy's mental health and treatment options available in state prison. If the boy is convicted of homicide as an adult, he would serve a mandatory life sentence in prison. If the case moves to juvenile court, he would be under supervision for the next 10 years. Judge Stephen Gibbs will decide in January where the case will go. Two homicide suspects in Eau Claire County are being tried separately. Brandon Gaston and Tracy Clark are both accused of killing an Altoona man and hiding his corpse. The body of 79-year-old Dennis Shoddy was found decapitated in the Rock River in Rockford, Illinois last April. Gaston will appear in court later this month. Clark's next court appearance is in October. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Thin line between joy and pain. It's a long, strange trip. It's all insane. You ain't never gonna be the same. Living life through the night. Thin line
with
lightning strike.
I feel like I can't interrupt.
Sometimes
it.
The only light when the moon is tucked away.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. That last segment, we were all about the State Fair, and I apologize. We're bringing it right back to hunting. Right back to hunting.
I don't know who does that. But.
Oh. I don't know where my... So I told you in the beginning why I have 50 topics.
Yeah.
But I talk about two or three. Yeah,
you're right.
It's
you're
life.
Not wrong.
It is life. But you know what? There's always next week.
Mm-hmm.
You can always go to next week.
Every Thursday.
You can always come back.
I'm game anytime.
Perfect. All right. Hunting.
Yeah.
It is. August is almost over.
Yeah.
So 22 days till September 1st. That's when our early goose, our dove, and our teal start.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I am pumped. I am jacked. I am ready.
Yeah. Wheat fields are getting cut like crazy. I've been seeing a lot of honkers in the different fields, and I just hope they don't get too weeded out before the hunting season starts and the birds are still hitting them.
I know. It's been, two or three weeks since the first field that I saw come down?
Yeah.
And last week, I made the mistake of saying, once I start seeing the fields come down, that's when I start asking. And Joel right. just started laughing. And I was like, what? He's been asking since like spring. Yeah. I'm like, oh, well.
He does the homework.
Yeah, my sure. bad. I feel like insignificant. Wow, that was a hard word. Right.
You got it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hunter, I'm like, huh. But it is what it is.
To roll into that, I mean, it's hard. And it's gotten harder and harder to get permission.
Are you more of a public land hunter or a private? No, you say no right away to public. Why do you say no to public right away? We're just talking about waterfowl right now, not deer hunting. Waterfowl for public. Do you do it or no?
Absolutely.
Yes?
Yeah. I've hunted Horicon. I've hunted Rome.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You were talking about the Horicon with the youth. Hunt.
Yeah. So that is a... and for the next one, I will know a little bit more, but... That's a great program for anybody and it's not just for kids anymore. They open it up to adults. It's a first-time hunt program. I'm sure you can find it on the DNR's website.
Yeah.
But the kids sit through a class, or adults, first-time hunters sit through the class, and then they pick a time to go hunting. So, and I've done it for a couple of years now, and it's just awesome to see these kids learn, or adults learn how to do it. And, and you're in either the state or the federally protected area of Horicon. What's better than that? I don't have a gun in my hand.
And
these programs are allowed through the system to hunt those areas. It's just a couple hours.
That's magnificent. Yeah. Like that's unheard of. Yeah. The bird population there is just booming. Yeah. Obviously, cause nobody can hunt it.
Right.
So it's perfect for new hunters.
You know, and it's not even the hunting aspect of it. It's the watching. And I always sign up for the morning sessions. To guide the morning classes.
Yeah.
Because there's not a whole lot better out there than watching, like, the earth wake up. Oh. The wildlife wake up.
Isn't the reason why us hunters probably started this?
Frogs. The birds, the frogs. We've seen deer. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything. Especially up there, you have birds you don't see anywhere else. The cranes and, you know, the sandhills and what's the egrets?
Egrets,
there's tons of them. Swans. I mean, everything is, and that marsh carries a lot of wildlife.
It is definitely beautiful. It's a hunter's paradise, and it's also a photographer's paradise. It's a Wisconsin in general paradise. Like, you don't have to be a hunter to enjoy the Horicon. Yes, it's going to be fantastic for hunters to go out there for first time hunters. Yep. Unbelievable. But to get out there and, like you said, wake up with the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's no better feeling. I don't understand why people sleep until 9, 10. 11 o'clock. Okay, I don't understand why you do it. Anastasia, you're pointing at you too.
Girl, I got up at 1 today. Are you kidding?
Oh, boy.
What?
I'm kidding.
No. What?
I was like, dang.
I was going to reach through this window and just slap your face. 1 o'clock.
That's why the window's there.
I mean, when I was a kid, I would sleep until 11, 12 o'clock, but.
Yeah, my teenager, I'm like, get up, go mow the lawn, do something fun, but. You know, I've done so much in the last 25 years. Now it's like, I personally, as bad as it sounds, I don't get that excited to get out of bed in the morning anymore. I mean, it's kind of a whatever. But when I'm doing that event or taking my daughter or Brady or somebody new, that's like, I love seeing the excitement, the jacked up people that are like, jump out of bed and go. I'm like, all right, I'm excited for it.
I understand that.
So,
yep.
Like. So the older I get, I'm like, I don't mind going to sit in the tree at 3-4 o'clock instead of get up at 3-4 in the morning to go fish Lake Michigan for salmon. I mean, I do it all and I've done it all, but little off topic, but we're getting into September and I wanted to touch base a little bit about bow hunting.
Look at you bring it up right away.
Yeah,
good job.
I know.
It's like know already.
I just
want to
get this off my
goes.
Yeah. So back to wild public versus private.
Yep.
I hunt a lot of private local areas to Waukesha County.
Yeah.
And I would probably...
For deer, correct?
Deer.
Okay.
And some waterfall.
Okay.
It's getting harder and harder, as everybody knows, to get permission. And parcels of acres is getting smaller where they don't allow firearms as much anymore either. It's just a fact of life. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to start traveling more. But, I mean, that Dodge County, Washington, all the way up into, the Horicon Marsh. And that's only an hour. So there's plenty of opportunities. To waterfowl hunt, private and public.
Yep.
Knocking on the doors, being nice. I mean, some, you know, they used to do the blinds up in the marsh where you pay $20. So now, like, you're used to layout blinds, right?
Yes.
They do like box blinds up there
okay.
from when we were little, right? I was going with my dad. He would go up. We'd get there at 3, 4 in the morning. So this is, we're getting off topic again, but go there 3, 4 in the morning, and you would be in a lottery to get a blind, and then you pay per person to hunt the blind and wait for the birds to come off the marsh. Just literally a plywood box in the middle of a field. It's just...
That seems logical to me, though, because...
Yeah, back in the day, I mean, there were so many more geese that were using the marsh than now. It. Now they I was just reading something recently about, like, it's, like, way down on the wild goose population in the marsh. Goose populations are up, but they're not using the marshes more.
Do you think it has to do with the windmills popping up and ruining the migration trail?
Yeah, I mean, that could be.
That I feel that has a lot to do with the migration trails. The stupid windmills. Because if you look at the bottom of a windmill, there's so many dead animals on the bottom because they keep flying into it. Because one, they're also really dumb. And two, they ruin the path of the migration. Okay, going off topic again.
Yeah.
Go back to your hunting.
Yeah, so that was... So there's plenty of still private land that you can waterfowl hunt,
mm-hmm.
and you don't need to be in those. At one time, I believe you had to be in those box blinds. Nobody slander me on social media or anything.
Or call us 844-967-2299.
Yeah, you can call in, let me know. But now you can pretty much hunt anywhere and just knock on doors. That's why I have kids.
Yeah, that definitely helps. As I said in last week's episode and episodes past, I am terrified. I love talking, aka radio show, all this kind of stuff, TV show, co-host mostly, but I'm a talker.
Right.
But when I ask for permission to use someone else's things that I have not worked for, it gets me. I'm terrified to do it.
Yeah.
Turkey hunting, not too bad. Deer hunting, surprisingly, a lot better at asking for permission on deer hunting fields than waterfowl. Okay. Back to your hunting season. What were you going to try to get?
Okay. We were talking, so private land, small acres in even Milwaukee County. There's some tight little spots that you can hunt. So if everybody knows, when Joel was into deep politics, and I don't know a lot of, but he's helped the outdoorsmen a lot with some of the stuff that he's passed.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is you're allowed to bow hunt within so many feet of buildings with permission. And that opened a lot of doors for a lot of people to hunt small parcels.
Oh, yeah.
So I've killed some pretty big deer on very small acreage. And I call them subdivision deer for everybody out there in the hunting world. But, I've been very lucky. I mean, I put in my time. My dad says, I put in my time with trail cameras, but I also spend a fair amount of time in the woods.
Yeah.
And when I see a deer that I want to hunt,
that's it.
Waterfowling's out of the question. Musky fishing, I love doing that. It's out. If I see there's a deer, but the last couple of years, and this is where I was going with this conversation, is the first 2 weeks of the season, if you can pattern a big deer, you have to be sitting in a tree on that first cold front.
The first cold front.
And a cold front could be a 10-degree, 12-degree difference.
Yep.
But I've shot some pretty big animals on the first cold front. Got lucky. I knew he was in the area. Just the right temperature in the cold front and the right winds. And I waited for him. And I passed some really nice small deer knowing he was there. He came out after them. And so I've killed the most big deer, not during the rut, but the first 2 weeks of the season.
And I would love to say that I have, but I still have not killed even a 4-pointer. Mostly doe and my tiny little, my 11 pointer. It's like just two little spikes sticking out that I made into keychains and earrings. Hey, that's how small it was.
You got to start somewhere. And did they eat good?
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah.
I mean, my big buck and my, or your big buck and my little buck, quote unquote buck, tastes the same.
Yeah. Oh, I think yours are better.
Oh.
The small, I would eat. I mean, when it comes to meat hunting personally, I'll shoot a younger deer any day of the week, but.
Not a fawn, though, right? If it has spots, you don't shoot it.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no. I mean, no.
I've heard a couple people do that. Yeah. I'm like, no, do not. Leave them alone.
Yeah. I've not shot in that small of a deer, but I've also I've seen people do it, and I harass them a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But
you have to.
They're good friends, and, it's like, oh, I need help dragging my deer, and they walk up, and I'm like, here, let me Whoop.
Yeah, let me grab it with my pinky. Yeah. I got this for you. Yeah. Calm down there, Popeye.
Here's the garbage can so it doesn't bleed everywhere.
See, in my head, where you were saying that once that big buck comes around and mm-hmm. the first cold front's coming around, mm-hmm. then you stop your waterfowl, you start your muskie. Mm-hmm. I feel as if people are only waterfowl hunters or deer hunters.
There's a lot of people.
Yeah, like you say you can mix, but you more or less deer hunting. Deer hunter, I should say.
Yeah, but if I mean, I've shot probably three to four of my wall mounting deer that have been in the first 2 weeks, like we were talking about. So then I'm all waterfowl after that.
Oh, there you go. So, I mean, that works perfectly, yeah. But with me, it doesn't work like that because I can't get it. So I just, I mainly stick to waterfowl.
Yeah.
Like, and that's my thing.
If you love doing that,
mm-hmm.
I love doing it all.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. If you can do it all, do it all. Right. Why not?
But, you know, there's Boiling a thing Wisconsin, that's a four-letter word that starts with a W and ends with a K that gets in the way too much. That works. Yeah. Stuff.
I'm like, what?
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, it's the older I get, the more you got to pick and choose to what I want to do. And you the weather plays a factor.
It
and
does, doesn't like, it?
I go to North Dakota. We can follow up a little later on a little waterfowl, but I go to North Dakota usually the first week in November. And any big archery deer hunter knows what the first week of November brings.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Rut, right? They're like, are you feeling
you
okay?
You going now?
Yeah.
It's Halloween. Every single Halloween, I have a massive buck on camera. But when I first started, so I only been hunting for about 10, 11 years, right? When I first started hunting and didn't really get into it and really understand the provider lifestyle, I would, you know, go out and have fun on Halloween. It's what everybody does. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, my trail camera goes off. I'm like, oh, I made the wrong decision, didn't I? And I've never seen that. I'll never see that buck again. Never.
Like I say, for hunting 25 years of bow hunting, I started out bow hunting before I went gun hunting. It was my mom's kind of rule to my dad that, you know, it's a little bit more intimate, closer, and can learn a little bit better and faster. I've been told if there's one day of the entire year, no matter the moon phase, weather, whatever else, October 31st is the day you want to hunt.
Sure is.
And I've shot in a couple bucks on Halloween. But most of them have been that first 2 weeks. But I live for that because I love telling those stories. Yeah. Everybody's like, September and early October for killing big deer. I'm like, it's just what I do.
Yeah, it's what you do. And I remember on past episodes, people were talking about instead of just getting out there at the break of dawn, you get out there at like 10 to 3 or whatever it is. Yep. That makes it more tempting this year.
Yeah.
But we're running back to waterfowl in North Dakota. When we come back from our break, I could talk all day about North Dakota. I love North Dakota. Yeah. It is my favorite place to go. So when we get back from the break, we'll talk about North Dakota waterfowl hunting. And just remember, 22 days. We got this. Yeah. 22 days. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK, The Shaw 101 FM.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life.
90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight, especially overnight. Some could be strong with a low in the mid-60s. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow. Again, a few storms popping up. Highs into the mid-80s. Sunshine for Saturday. A high in the low 80s. Another chance of storms on Sunday. Cooler high, mid-70s. Right now it's 73.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
When Mama used my full name, I knew she meant business.
Oh, that's so true. Welcome back to Raise in Wisco. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman, alongside Mike Kretschmer. I love that. See it correctly.
Yeah.
And would you know it, I talked about Joel and how we were missing him, and he was MIA. Joel remembered our phone number because I ask him all the time, so he finally remembered it to give us a call. Hi, Joel. How's it going?
Yeah.
Oh, we can't hear you, Joel. Where are you?
Keep talking, Joel.
Joel! We can't hear you, Joel. This is sad. Anastasia's shaking her head.
His volume's all the way up. Speak to us, Joel. I don't know. I'll leave him up if we are able to hear him, but you'll have to keep talking.
Chime in, Joel, if you can hear us. Oh, it says you're on air, so I don't know where you are. Go outside. Put your phone up in the air.
Maybe he's in the middle of the woods getting ready for season.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's at that farmer's house. Maybe he's at the SCI.
Yeah.
You know about the SCI.
Yeah.
They have a meeting, I believe, every month, once a month, or every third. I don't really know, but I know that's going on this Thursday at the Thunder Bay Grill.
Gotcha.
Fantastic place for brunch.
Yeah,
I missed Joel already. Yeah. Joel, are you on air? Can you there?
Should be back.
Hello?
No, we can't hear you, Joel.
Joel, I don't think your connection's...
Oh, my gosh. We heard that.
Can you get?
No, we can't hear you, Joel.
Oh man! I got a good.
I don't know what you're saying. I'm so sorry. Aw,
we'll have to. We'll talk to you next week, Joel.
Well, we heard his voice, so that just made everything better. We miss you, Joel. So, before we went to break, we were talking about North Dakota.
Yes.
Going to talk about North Dakota. And I love that you have a smile on your face when I say it. North Dakota. So, what speaks to you about North Dakota? What was your first trip, and why did you plan that first trip?
Actually, a good friend of mine, one of my best friends, actually owns a house out there.
Oh, really?
So, just a friend of a friend had it, and he bought it for dirt cheap, probably 15 years ago, maybe now.
Nice.
And it's not quite in the main... fly zone, but we're a little west, and it's a lot of pheasants too. So it's a combination. So we'll waterfowl hunt the mornings, and then we drive around, do our fair share of scouting, and then pheasant hunt at the same time. So sometimes, So sometimes we get a little off track and do more pheasant hunting, and then we don't know what we're going to hunt the next morning, but that's part of the whole trip. And
you're still providing, you're still harvesting an animal, you're still doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, pheasants, duck tastes very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I love pheasants.
Yeah.
Definitely love them.
They're great eating. And it's just the license for pheasants is probably more or as much as the waterfowl for North Dakota. And so I got to make it, you know, you can hunt a game farm around here and it's fun and it's a great learning experience.
Yep.
They're like not even close to the same.
No, not even.
I mean, out there, you get out of your vehicle and you shut a door. There's pheasants leaving that are literally 200-300 yards away from you flying up and gone. So you got to be like, it's a stealth operation. I was like, when the first time they told me that, I was like, you guys are crazy. Shut the door.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you're not joking.
Yep. See, with me, when Bill and I go, we don't stay in a house. We have an enclosed trailer.
Oh, nice.
So we have two cots in the back with all the decoys. Bandit has his little bed, but of course he sleeps with me.
Yeah.
So we just park it on a farmer's land that we obviously ask permission mm-hmm. for. But then all of a sudden it just comes walking out. There's a pheasant. Oh, there's another pheasant. Oh, here's another pheasant. So we just shoot. We just sit there. We cook our ducks that we harvest that day.
Yeah.
And then we just sit back and then pheasant hunt.
Yeah.
And then the great thing about, I don't know if it's a great thing, but one of the interesting facts about North Dakota is that you can shoot from the road.
Yes.
Like you don't have to be 10 feet off the curb or whatever it is. I should know this rule, but I don't because I go way in the field.
Yeah.
But you can just, their property line ends right at the intersection, right in the middle.
Right.
I'm like, oh, this is kind of neat. So yeah. I can just sit here and shoot that way. Because I always was kind of timid because I always see them across the road. I'm right. like, oh, all right. That works.
Think if it's any gravel road, you can shoot off of the road.
Yeah.
And then, you know, North Dakota is, they're catching up with the times, unfortunately. So, and I don't know if you know this, but now they can electronically post their land. Do you know
this? Yes. I'm going to get all heated. That pissed me off. Last year was my first year, and I believe it was their first year as well. They electronically posted it, and that just took away more than half of the fields.
Yeah.
Because, for one, they have either no phone number on there, or this is connected to someone in California. This is connected to someone over here. It's connected 3 hours away.
Correct.
So I have no way of contacting them because I'm not going to drive 3 hours. Their phone number does not match.
Correct.
But the year prior, we only have 3 minutes left. The year prior, you could just go knock on that door and bada bing, bada boom, you're right there.
Right.
Easy peasy. Everywhere. You could go everywhere. But now you can't because it's electronic.
You go to the local like watering hole. Hey, who is this? Boom. This guy. Okay. Yep. Knock on the door. You're done. Now, like you say, we're short on time, but it's gotten a lot harder. But we've gone to the same spot. So we're learning more and more every year. We're mm-hmm. knowing more and more people, which is kind of helpful. But that is the downfall, but it's still great hunting.
My belief is that every waterfall hunter should experience North Dakota hunting. Because to me, it was the greatest. See, my first tornado, it was wonderful.
Oh, it's a whole nother level.
But to end this segment, I know we could talk about this nonstop, which we'll talk about next time you come mm-hmm. on, because it'll be closer to waterfall hunting.
Right.
I want to know, you talk about youth hunting and how your kids got into mm-hmm. it and everything. What can you recommend for everybody? What can you tell them? What can you inspire them to do?
I would say, like, go out there with an open mind. Even as a parent, and you're not into the hunting aspect, but your child might be. So mm-hmm. the big thing is, like, try to connect with somebody. If you know somebody, like, I have a lot of people on social media that don't hunt, but I share it. And anybody can reach out to anybody that, I mean, I've never heard of an outdoorsman say no to taking somebody new or somebody young.
Never.
That's the bottom line. And, you know, I've had people like, oh, wild game, like some of my even close friends. I've made venison tenderloins. I've made wild turkeys. And people are, you just got to keep an open mind on the provider food aspect,
mm-hmm.
but also the camaraderie and expanding your horizons as far as not everybody is the same.
Yep.
And you learn a different lifestyle. And when you get into this lifestyle, mind you, it's very expensive nowadays. But
you got to pay to play.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I agree with getting new hunters out there. It doesn't matter the age, doesn't matter the sex, doesn't matter everything. We are all the same out there. We're all out there for the same exact goal.
Correct.
It is to provide for our family, to enjoy our life, and just to have people to talk to, right?
Correct.
This is what we do out there. We harvest the animals. We talk to each other. Like at the turkey blind, you sit next to somebody and you're talking. It's a fantastic time. You build relationships. You bring the family together. It's
fun.
Absolutely fantastic, and I'm so happy that we live in Wisconsin so we can do this not necessarily year round, but
just about.
Yeah. We go from ice fishing to turkey hunting to fishing again and then to deer season, everything. We have it all here, and I'm so happy and I'm so thankful. And just like that, we're ready at the end of the show. We probably talk about 5 topics.
I know.
Topics out of 50.
I gotta come back. It's fun. It's been fun.
Oh, we appreciate having you. Thank you, Mike Kretschmer. I am Danielle Fairman. Joel called in, but we missed him. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. Have a great night.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Donald J. Trump has now been indicted for a third time. The purpose of the conspiracy was to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 presidential election by using knowingly false claims of election fraud. The defendant enlisted co-conspirators to assist him in his criminal efforts. Jim Troupas, Ron Johnson, they're coming for you. Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Jeffrey Clark, yeah, you as well.
Weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.